The Electric Company's public information program brings you your Better Living Radio Theater in its salute to the American home, its family, and its way of life in this bright American future. The tubes in your radio, the power behind this station which brings you this program, the nightlight at your child's bedside, the giant motors that drive the machines to mold our steel and power your production lines, the current that pops your family toaster, foods, aircraft, railroads, automobiles, and ships. Electricity always at hand, day or night, with its economy for lower cost to you, with rising efficiency through its own research, with its growth to match the nation's needs at all times. Electricity is at work to bring you better living. This is your narrator, Wendell Niles. Now we bring you a story entitled Milk for Millions, a dramatic story of one of the great pioneers of America's dairy industry. This is the fourth in a series of broadcasts at this time to show you how Americans in a free nation have worked to bring you better living today. In fact, the highest standard of living in the world. Later you will hear from today's guest, Mr. Theodore G. Montague, president of the Borden Company. And now your Better Living Radio Theater presents today's story, Milk for Millions. Washington, D.C., August 19, 1856. To Robert McFarlane, editor, Scientific American. Quote, our long battle is at an end. U.S. Patent Office today awarded me American patent on my process for condensing milk. My gratitude to you and Dr. John Curie for your tireless aid in helping me prove condensing in vacuo is unequaled, and that evaporating milk must not be allowed to contact air. Unquote. Signed, Gail Borden. Man's hand and brain have combined to bring mankind its great inventions for better living. But to bring better living to the millions in America, it is necessary that the products of our great farms and factories be produced with reasonable cost and be distributed as widely as possible, so that the greatest number may receive the greatest good from these inventions. Without electric power readily available in all parts of the nation, without power tools and electric motors to do the work of 10, 100, 1,000 men, our better living of today would be impossible. This is the story of Gail Borden, who worked to bring better living to Americans. This pioneer of dairy farming was born in upstate New York in 1801 in Norwich. Later, he went to Indiana, where he taught school, to Mississippi, where he was a surveyor, and then he went on to Texas, where he settled down for a while until the California Gold Rush began, and thousands of people began pouring through Texas near where he lived.
Oh, 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 blast it! I say there, be your name Borden?
That's my name, sir.
Now, my name's Jared Potter. I'm a friend of Lieutenant Slocum's.
Oh? Well, I'm glad to know you.
Well, in fact, I used to be an Army contractor. That's how I knew the lieutenant. He's been telling me some interesting stories about you.
Has he?
You can see we've got a baby there in Nellie's arms.
Not more than 3 months, I'd say.
Oh, just about. And there's a couple of other young'uns back in the Conestoga wagon there. We're heading west, all of us.
It'd be better if you stayed here.
Lieutenant Slocum told us you'd say that.
I mean it. How long do you think that baby will live on the trail?
Oh, Nellie's healthy. She's nursed all the others. Strapping children they are, too.
She hasn't nursed them on the trail west. How long will she live herself?
What do you mean?
Nellie?
I left young Jim holding the reins. Tell me, sir, don't you think I'm strong enough to stand the trail?
You look strong enough now, Mrs. Potter, but 4 weeks from now... Look, day after day, I watch families like yours set forth on the trail to the goldfields of California. I've never been there myself, but I'm a surveyor. I've seen a lot of the country go past through. I've seen the red sands and the sawtooth peaks of the desert. I've seen the bones of gold rushes along the way.
There's plenty of game farther west.
Not in the desert. I can believe any story, no matter how horrible, about starvation on the trail.
Dear, you talk. No one's ever reached California.
Very few, ma'am, compared to those who started out. I suppose this is why Lieutenant Slocum sent you to me. He says I'm the pioneer's prophet of doom.
Lieutenant Slocum sent us for something else. It's the reason why we came to you.
You mean the meat biscuit? I'm sorry. When I last saw Lieutenant Slocum, I thought I was on the right track. I'd worked a month, night after night, chopping steer beef and grinding cornmeal into a wet mash and then drying it and eating some of each new batch. I thought I was about to find what I wanted, but it molded. It still turns moldy. Until I can find something that doesn't mold, a mixture that'll last for months on the trail, I don't dare give any of my mashes to anyone.
A short time after our first scene, our pioneer struck upon using flour in his biscuits. By early 1850, his combination of beef extract and flour began to interest army contractors. He manufactured several canisters for Dr. Elisha Kane to take on his first Arctic expedition. A patent was issued for the invention in February 1850. And after organizing a partnership to market the biscuits and building a factory, he went to London to show the English his new development in the field of food. On his return journey, Borden was on deck one evening when a man, whom he had met on his first day of the voyage, strolled to the rail beside him.
Whoa, Dr. Delaney. I've been seeing you these past few days.
Just busy. I've been, sir, very busy.
Busy? I thought this was a pleasure trip for you and your wife.
Have you not heard about the cows on shipboard, sir?
The cows? Yes, I've heard the rough passage has made them seasick, but I didn't know that you were...
A veterinarian? That I'm not. But as the results of the cows being sick, it made me busy. The children aboard, sir. More particularly, the wee babies whom the cow's milk was supposed to have nourished. They're dying, sir.
Oh, you can't mean it.
Two dead today. I fear for another before morning.
There's no hope of getting any milk for these babies?
In mid-Atlantic.
Oh, I mean none of the cows is able to give even a quarter to of milk?
Yeah. I'm a doctor. I'm used to death, sir. But it seems something could be done to keep milk fresh for long voyages like this.
It would be worth working for. It would be worth working for, Doctor.
On his return to this country, our pioneer's thoughts were for a short while diverted by the sudden, surprising bankruptcy of his meat and flour biscuit factory and business. In despair, he sought shelter in New Lebanon, New York, with friends in the Shaker colony there. It was a stroke of good fortune for the dairy industry and mankind together. For while there, he noticed that the Shaker women, in preparing fruit for canning, were using a device like a huge kettle drum that caught his fancy.
Good morning, sister. It is a pleasant day.
Aye, sir. I hope he is in good spirits today.
The best I've been in since coming, sister. Is there not a vacuum pan you're using on the fire?
It is, sir. How did you know?
I'm an inventor of sorts. Sometimes happily, sometimes not.
Someday I pray thee will invent something which will bring thee good fortune.
You know, I am seriously considering working on a brand new idea here.
On a new way to preserve fruit? Thou art staring so at my vacuum pan.
Well, the fact of the matter is, I'm wondering if I could use that type of vacuum pan to condense milk.
Condense milk? I do not understand.
Sister, when I returned from Europe recently, several small babies died aboard ship because they could not get fresh milk. I would very much like to discover a way to keep milk fresh for everyone on long voyages, for all those in the cities who can't obtain fresh milk day by day.
It would be a great blessing, sir.
Sister, tell me, do you think I could obtain permission to use one of those pans for my experiments? It is the first thing which has given me hope in the while I've been considering this problem.
He received the permission he requested, and within a few months, this vacuum pan, which permitted liquids to boil at low temperature, gave him high hopes in the experiments for condensing milk. He ordered a specially designed pan for himself, and soon he was able to apply to the United States Patent Office for a patent on his method. This was in 1853.
We do not find sufficient novelty in the applicant's method. Other inventors have used a vacuum pan to condense milk.
His attorney claimed that such previous claims were theoretical, and again he made a claim for a patent. This time...
The applicant has failed to prove that condensing milk in vacuo contributes anything to previous modes of condensation.
Undiscouraged, the inventor continued his work, and a third time his application was rejected. But this time...
By Jove, you've had a hard time, Borden. But you say there is some hope this time?
Yes, Mr. McFarlane. That's why I've sent for you. I need your help.
Well, sir, anything that I can do, anything my magazine, the Scientific American, can do, we'll do. You know, I'm a booster of your condensed milk. I've used it myself.
I think the patent commissioners have given me an opening. Oh? At the end of their last rejection, they added about me. If he can prove that milk taken fresh from the cow and evaporated in the open air would not answer substantially the same purpose as when evaporated in vacuo, I would certainly grant him the patent he is asking.
That's a steep order he's given us. You realize what he's asking?
I do. We must study every known method of condensing milk and use those methods. We must prove that my method is different and better.
Well, we're going to get writer's cramp just recording our results.
Friend McFarlane, it cheers me greatly to hear you say, we. Fortunately, you and I are not alone, sir. Oh? Dr. John Curie is going to help us.
Curie? Well, a splendid man. One of New York's best chemists. Well, when do we begin? At once?
Curie, McFarlane, and Borden not only studied every known method of condensing milk, they actually condensed milk by each method and tabulated the results. They drew charts, they prepared affidavits. And as they progressed, the data shaped up toward one point, that condensing milk in vacuo was unequaled. In condensing milk, it must not be allowed to contact air. This time, when he faced the patent commission, he was soon able to send the telegram with which we began his story today. It was a great day for the dairy industry of the world, a great day for humanity. Now the baby, the weary traveler, could have his safe milk, no matter where he was, no matter how far removed from farm and herd. It was a heartwarming gift to the millions who would travel westward, settling this nation. Now, today's guest of Better Living Radio Theater, Mr. Theodore G. Montague, president of the Borden Company.
I am happy to take part in this nationwide tribute to the role played by electric power and related industries in creating an even better America. We in the dairy industry fully appreciate the value of electricity. We know that without this great source of power, we could not assure foods of present high quality or produce them at their present low cost. Electricity, along with other modern tools, has, of course, revolutionized the lives of dairymen. But these modern miracles have done more than this. They have helped the whole dairy industry achieve its goals. They have also aided the research and enterprise through which we hope to improve even further the quality of our foods and service to our customers. Electric power and good wholesome dairy products serving millions of Americans can be counted upon to continue improving our standards of living. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Montague, for joining us in this salute to better living. You have been listening to Mr. Theodore G. Montague, president of the Borden Company. Your Better Living Radio Theater has brought you Milk for Millions, the fourth in a series of broadcasts at this time, presented by this station and the Electric Company's Public Information Program. Now this is your narrator, Wendell Niles, inviting you to be with us again at the same time next week when Better Living will present another program in this series.